Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Beis. We begin the new Masechta Be'ezer Hashem. Our Masechta discusses the halachas of the Yontif of Sukkos, which include the mitzvah of Sukkah, the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, the various avoidas that took place in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos, Nisach HaMayim, and the Masechta begins with speaking about the halachas of the Sukkah. The Mefarshim ask, why does the Masechta begin speaking about the halachas of Sukkah? Ostensibly, it should have really begun with the halachas of the Dalad Minim, as they are mentioned in the Torah before the halachas of the Sukkah, and also as the halachas of the Dalad Minim do not take up as many blat as the halachas of the Sukkah, and the Derech, usually the Tana mentions, deals with the less voluminous issues versus the issues that take up more blat. So some of Farshim explain, because the mitzvah of Sukkah takes place chronologically before the mitzvah of the Dalad Minim. We have to build a sukkah before Yontif, and we have to eat in the sukkah on the first night of Sukkos already. Whereas the Dalad Minim, we only begin to use during the first day of Sukkos. However, perhaps, we could explain, and in this way we could also connect our Masechta Sukkah with Masechta Yuma that we just finished learning. The Pasuk says, regarding the mitzvah Sukkah, L'man yedu d'ayre seichem ki b'sukkos ha'shafti es b'nei Yisrael. You should realize that Klal Yisrael was sitting in the sukkah, b'tzeisim Mitzrayim, when they left Mitzrayim, ani Hashem alakeichem. And the Sfas Emes and the Shem Shmuel ask, many times the Torah mentions different mitzvahs asay, and in all of those mitzvahs asay, the Torah does not mention, after telling us what to do, the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why by the mitzvah Sukkah does the Torah use those words? The Torah, they explain, is teaching us that the mitzvah of Sukkah is not just a mitzvah where one for the 7 days of Sukkos has to sit in the Sukkah. Sukkos is a yontif of L'man Yedu Dereseichem, to recognize the special connection that exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we just learned is the whole concept of Masechta Yuma, the last Mishnah in the Masechta we spoke, Lifnei mi atem mitarim, or mi mitar eschem, avichem shebashamayim, that Klal Yisrael have the special relationship on Yom Kippur, a father to a child. But the Torah teaches us that that relationship is not limited to the one day of Yom Kippur. It continues all year round. L'man yedu d'ayreseichem, when a Jew goes into the sukkah, he has to realize that the purpose of his going into the sukkah is because Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And therefore the halacha is that when one eats the kezayis in the sukkah on the first night of Yontif, the Mishnah Berurah tells us he has to have kavona to be mekayim the mitzvah, which is not normally the case. When one eats matzah on Pesach, he eats the matzah, he's mekayim the mitzvah. Sukkos, it's not just enough that you are mekayim the mitzvah. Sukkos requires the L'man Yedu to recognize what Sukkos is all about. The Meshech Chachma says that there are mitzvahs in the Torah that, so to speak, makes sense. If the Torah tells us you're not allowed to steal, the Torah tells us kabres avicha v'asimecha, those are mitzvahs that make sense. And there are mitzvahs in the Torah that don't seem to make sense. Sukkos, he says, falls into that category. On Sukkos is as the fall, the winter begins, and when everybody's starting to go inside. And what does the Jew do? He goes outside because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go outside. And what the Jew is declaring by going outside to sit in the sukkah is to say that my purpose in life is not just to follow the teva, just to follow the natural order. Comes the fall, I go, I bring my grain and my agriculture indoors, and I move indoors. I go where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to go, because that's where a Jew belongs, where he belongs together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi tells us in Chumash that when Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar and they had to travel, so when the time to travel came, the Amud HaAnan, the cloud that covered Klal Yisrael, was shaped like a stick. And when the time for them to came, that this should be the place where they should take camp, it looked like a sukkah. Those are the first two issues we confront on our Masechta, the sukkah, and we will learn soon about the kana, the stick, the beam. Klal Yisrael, wherever they go, should recognize that they are in the Amud HaAnan, that they are enveloped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mefarshim ask, we know that sukkah is a mitzvah saseh shezman groma, and therefore women are potter from a sukkah. Ask Rabbi Yosha Ben Soloveitchik. The halacha is that a mitzvah which is for persume nisa, to glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, even though it's a mitzvah saseh shezman groma, women are mechuyev in the mitzvah. Therefore, he says, we find that women have to light Chanukah, are mechuyev in Neris Chanukah, the mechuyev in Mikra Megillah, the mechuyev in Dalet Kaisis. So why are they potter from the sukkah? So he explains that, so some Rishonim explain that the concept of persume nisa that obligates women in mitzvah are only by mitzvahs the Rabbonim. Ner Chanukah, Mikra Megillah, Dalet Kaisis are all the Rabbonim. That concept of presume nisa cannot obligate them in a mitzvah d'oraisa. However, Rabbi Yosha Ben Soloveitchik explains, Dalet Kaisis, the entire concept of Dalet Kaisis is presume nisa. Sukkah is not a presume nisa. Sukkah is a mitzvah. Through the mitzvah, one recognizes who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But it's not a chefetz. It's not an object of presume nisa, and therefore women are potter. Teaches us the Mishnah. Sukkah she gavoy lamalam esrim amma. If the sukkah is taller than 20 amma, psula. The sukkah is pasul. Rabbi Yehuda machsha. Rabbi Yehuda holds the sukkah is kosher. The Gemara will explain the basis for the machlokes. However, the Gemara Masechta Erevin says that even according to the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan, who hold that the sukkah, when it's above 20 amis, it's pasul, that's if all of the schach, for as we will learn, Rashi teaches us, the point of the sukkah is the schach. If all of the schach is above 20 amis, then the sukkah is pasul. However, he says, if part of the schach is within 20 amis, and the rest is above, then that sukkah is still kosher sukkah. And Ritva says that really the wording of our Mishnah indicates so. Because our Mishnah says, sukkah shi gavoy lamala mesmama. So he says, why does the Mishnah have to say, sukkah shi gavoya? The Mishnah Lamala should have said Shukah Shigavaya Masramama. Why did the Mishnah use the word Gavaya and Lamala? So he explains that only when all of the Schach is Lamala above 20 Amma, then do the Rabbanan hold Psula that the Sukkah is Pasul. But if part of the Schach is within 20 Ammas, then the Sukkah is Kosher. Furthermore, Vishaina Gavaya Sarat Tvachim, if the Sukkah is not 10 Tvachim tall, the sukkah is also pasul. We're going to learn in the Gemara, because the shear of 10 tefachim for a sukkah to be kosher is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. The other Rishonim explain that it's considered a dira serucha. A sukkah that's so low is not considered a fitting dwelling place. And the Mefarshim, the Bar Tanura, the Tosfos Yontif, explain why do we have to say the reason of Dira Serucha. If there's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that any edifice that's not 10 tefachim tall is not considered a mechitza, that should be enough of a reason to say that the sukkah is not kosher. So they explain that, let's say we'll have a sukkah which will be 10 tefachim tall, but the schach falls into the area below 10 tefachim. Even though we now have mechitzas of 10 tefachim, still that sukkah will be considered a dira serucha. It'll be considered diras rucha because it's not a fitting place to live. And the sukkah is a place where we have to live. Rashi, as we said, points out that the sukkah, the point of the sukkah is the schach. The question is machlokes rishonim, machlokes Rosh and Rambam, that the Rosh holds that only the schach is considered a sukkah, the Shem Shemayim is only a chal on the schach, not on the walls. The Rambam seems to hold that even though the crucial part of the sukkah, as we will learn, is the schach, the walls are still considered part of the mitzvah, and the Shem Shemayim is chal even on the schach, or even on the walls. V'she'eloi Shalosh Tefanis, if the sukkah doesn't have three walls, or shechamsa meruba mitzilsa, if there's more sun than shade, in all these cases, psula, the sukkah is posel, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees in these cases. The Stipler asks, he says, Rashi says that the reason a sukkah, which is chamsa meruba mitzilsa, is posel, is because the whatever schach that's there becomes bottle, becomes nullified by the majority open area. Ask the Stipler, the Sfasemis asked the same Shaila, that we know throughout Halacha there's a concept of bittel, that the area that's less become the, or the object that's less becomes nullified with the majority. However, the Halacha is that the object that we want to be mevatel, to nullify, is a dover and nicker, is a significant object, it never becomes bottle. So here the schach, albeit, is the miut, is the minority, but it's a dover hanikr, it's an obvious object. So why does it become bottle? So the Stipler answers that in halacha, there are two concepts. There's a concept of bittel beroif, which we just discussed, and there's a concept of rubik koloi, that the majority is considered like the whole thing. Explains the Stipler. The difference is between these two concepts is that bittel beroiv is said when we have a taruvus. We have two different objects mixed together. There we say we go after the majority, and the miut, the minority, is bottle beroiv. And there's halacha that if the miut is a dover chashiv, it doesn't become bottle. But then there's another halacha. There's a halacha of ruba kekula. Ruba kekula says when we're dealing with one item, and we look at that item, what is it? Says the Stipler, our Rashi and our Mishnah is referring to the concept of Rubik Kekuloi. Is it a shady area or is it a sunny area? If it's mostly shady, it's considered shady and it's a kosher sukkah. If it's mostly sunny, it's considered an open area, it's considered a sunny area, and it's not a valid sukkah. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam, there's a Mishnah in Masechta Ervin. The Mishnah discusses a mavui. Their homes were structured that one family homes were opened to a chatzar, to a courtyard which was shared by a number of homes, and the chatzeris were opened to a mavui. A mavui was a dead end alleyway. It had three walls and an opening on the fourth side to the Rishus HaRabim. Midaraisa to Rishus HaYachid. And midaraisa, one should be able to carry from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid. However, Chazal teach us in Masechta Ervin that if we have Rishus HaYachid, we have Rishus HaYachid which is more private versus another Rishus HaYachid, midrabanan, one may not carry from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid. Therefore, a private home which is only used for the people who live in that home versus the chatzar which is used for all of the homes, one can't carry from the homes to the chatzar without an arev chatzeris. Similarly, since the mavi is more public than the chatzeris, because the chatzeris were limited use to the people of the homes opening to the chatzar, versus the mavi, which is used by all the people of all the chatzeris of all the homes, to be able to carry in the mavi, two things are required. One is the shetufim mavois, which works the same way as the ruvah chatzeris. They contribute food to make a shetufim mavois, and they have to have a kaira beam at the opening of that mavui to show that this is a mavui, it's a Rishus HaYachid, and one can carry from the chatzeris to the mavui. So the Mishnah Masechta Ervin, when it discusses the distance, says Tanan Hosom, Mavi shegvoy me'esrim amma, a mavi which is above 20 amas, you're mat. You have to make it lower. Yehuda oimer ainet tzarich. Yehuda says it's not necessary. Asks our Gemara, Maishno gab a sukkah that doni psula. Why by sukkah does our Mishnah just say that it's possible? Or Maishno gab a mavi the tani takanta. Why by a mavi does the Mishnah say and give us an approach how to fix it? You're mad to make it lower. So Tosfos asks, why did the Gemara have to ask from the Mishnah Masechta Erevin? Our Gemara could have asked from a Mishnah in our Masechta on Daf Lamed Beis. The Mishnah discusses the Hadassim, and the Mishnah says that if you have Hadassim that have more berries on the Hadass than leaves, Yamad, take out the berries. So you could have asked the same Kasha. There it says Yamad, here it doesn't. So Tosfos answers, two answers. One answer, Tosfos says, it makes more sense to ask from a Mavi, because both the Mavi and the Sukkah are referring to the height of an edifice, to the height of something that we're discussing. Another Tosfos says, that one would think by Hadas, that has more berries than leaves, that Hadas is permanently disqualified. That's why the Mishnah and the Aflami Beis had to teach us that even though this Hadas started off disqualified because it had more berries, it can become kosher. But the question is, why by Mavi does it say it Takana and here not? Answers the Gemara. Sukkah Daraisa, the halacha of Sukkah is Daraisa Tani Psula. That's why the Mishnah uses the word Psula. Mavi, which is on the other hand, the Rabbanan, Tanya Takanta, the Mishnah gives us a way how to fix it. And as Rashi explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe by Kar Sinai how a sukkah looks. He told him that a sukkah that's 20 amos tall is possible. Now, we have to establish that din. And that's why the Mishnah says it's possible. However, the halacha of the Mavi was at Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, when they established the halacha of Mavui, at the same time established that the halacha is that if it's too tall, you can make it lower and it'll be fine. Vibay Seima, another teretz. But the Raisa Namitel in the Kanta. Even when we're dealing with the Raisa subjects, the Mishnah does give us the way of fixing it, gives us a remedy. However, Mavui, Miyu Sukkah, the Nefisha Mili. And our Mishnah, so many different halachas were mentioned. And we know, Rashi tells us, that the rule is, La'olam yishana odom le'talmidoi b'derech k'tzara. A person should try to express himself as briefly as possible. So therefore, in our Mishnah, if we're going to start on every issue raised in our Mishnah, giving us the remedy, Nefisha Malayu, it'll be a lot of words. That's why the Mishnah doesn't want to do that. Pasuk v'tani psula. It says pasul. Mavui. However, the Mavi, the Loi Nafesh Milayu, the Mavi that doesn't have so many different halachas, it's only one question, how high should it be, and just say that you should make it lower. That's why Tani Psula, the Mishnah just uses Tani Takanta, the Mishnah tells us how to remedy it by making it lower. Tosfos gives two more reasons why our Mishnah uses the word Psula. Tosfos says that we know that the Gemara, the Mishnayos, always want to use a Lashon Nekiyah, a very refined terminology. Psula is not so refined. However, since we're dealing in our Mishnah with a Daraisa, the Mishnah, realizing that the repercussions of not being, of using this strong word psula, could be serious, somebody may end up eating in a sukkah which is not kosher midaraisa, so uses this word psula. However, in Masechta Erevin, where we're dealing only with an issue Rabbanon, we try to avoid the word posel, and that's why we use the word, we give the remedy. Tosfos says, another teretz, that we only use the word posel. If we would use the word yamat, it would seem to teach us that this hold in, that if the sukkah is higher than 20 amos, it's only a Rabbanan de Gechumra that you should make the sukkah lower than 20 amos, which is incorrect. So to wait to express how serious of an issue we're at hand, we say the word psula. And Tosfos points out that the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, when discussing Ner Chanukah, uses the word psula. I there, as Tosfos was talking about it, Rabbanim. So Tosfos says that there we have no choice but to use the word psula. One reason Tosfos says is because that Mishnah also mentioned Sukkah, and Sukkah we just finished explaining is pasul when it's higher than 20 amos midaraisa. Moreover, Tosfos says, if one would light the Chanukah menorahs above 20 amos and then bring them down, it would not be an acceptable remedy. Certainly, he says, according to the mandama that holds hadlakos mitzvah, the lighting the menorah in the proper place is what's required. It would be unacceptable. Even, he says, according to the mandama that holds hanochos mitzvah, you could light the menorah in an improper place and then bring it to the proper place, it would be unacceptable, because once seeing you doing that would assume that you're doing that because you want to use the menorah for your own personal candlelight, not for the mitzvah of Chanukah. The Pnei Yeshua asks that perhaps the Mishnah in Masechet Erevin uses the word Yamat to teach us that even though one of the ways of doing miut is by just raising the level of the floor under the kaira, and the rest of the area is not raised, one would think that that's not acceptable. That's why the Mishnah has to teach us that even that is enough of an acceptable remedy. Says the Pnei Yeshua, if that's the reason we use the word Yamat, it should be the reason we should use it here too. Because here too, we would think that if we start with a sukkah that's above 20 amos, the schach is above 20 amos, and then we raise the level of the floor, it's possible. Our Mishnah should teach us that it's kosher. Because the Beis Yosef teaches us that, as we were learning in our Masechta, one of the disqualifications of the schach is tasoy v'loy menosoy. The schach, when it's made, has to be kosher. And therefore, the halacha, for example, is that if one has branches over his sukkah connected to the ground, connected to the tree, which are disqualified sukkah, and then afterwards he cuts those he puts them over his sukkah and then he cuts them, that's an invalid sukkah. It's tasav aloy menosoy. When the schach was applied, it was disqualified. What would be the halacha if we had a sukkah, says the Beis Yosef, that was above 20 amos, when the schach was placed above 20 amos, and then we raised the level of the floor? Says the Beis Yosef, that is not considered a possible sukkah. That is not considered tasav lemonosui. Because there's no inherent disqualification, explains the Beis Yosef, in the schach at that time. The disqualification is only that the schach is too tall, and therefore that's not considered tasav lemonosui. It's relevant laloch lemaisa. Let's say one has an awning over his sukkah, and when he's building his sukkah, it's raining, so he keeps the awning open, and then he puts on the schach. So when he put on the schach, it was invalid. There was something covering the schach. According to the Beis Yosef, it would still be a valid sukkah, because the invalidity of is not inherent to the schach. It's only a different problem that it's covered, and therefore it would be a kosher sukkah. The Sfas Emes says, perhaps the Mishnah in Masechet Erevin uses the word Yamat to teach us that we have to lower it, that people shouldn't make the mistake, since so many people rely on a mavi, on the kair of the mavi, not like a sukkah, which is used only by a private individual or his family. Says the Sfas Emes, if the entire purpose of the Mishnah in Masechta Erevin was to teach us that we have to make sure that we don't have a disqualified mavi, the people shouldn't come to make the mistake to carry in the mavi, it would be enough, says the Sfas Emes, to say that such a mavi take away the kaira. So nobody should come to make the error of walking in. The fact that the Mishnah there uses the word Yamat is the reason our Gemara asks, why don't we use the same terminology here? The Shamat Tzion Baloch, on the other hand, points out that perhaps by our Mishnah using the word psula, one can make the error to think that the sukkah is only disqualified when it has all of the disqualifications listed in our Mishnah. So he says nobody would make such a mistake, because it's obvious that every disqualification is for a different reason. So now the Gemara tries to explain the reasoning for Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda of a sukkah that's above 20 amos. Menani, Mili, why do we, from where do we know that a sukkah that's taller than 20 amos is possible? Amar Rava, Amar Kra. The pasuk regarding the sukkah says, Lamanya de Reseichem, Kibas Sukkahs Hashaftis Bnei Yisrael. You should know, we have to know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, we sat in sukkahs. At Esrim Amma, until 20 Amos, Odom Yudei Shudav Sukkah. A person realizes he's sitting in the Sukkah. Lamalam Esrim Amma, but if it's above 20 Amos, Ein Odom Yudei Shudav Sukkah, he's not realizing that he sits in the Sukkah, Mishum Deloy Shalta Be'ena, because you can't see above 20 Amos. So the Miri explains, are we having a machloikish if you could see above 20 Amos or not? So the Miri says, of course, a person could see above 20 Amos. However, to see above 20 amos, one has to tilt his head. According to Rabbanan, that's really not considered seeing it easy if you have to tilt your head. And Rabbi Yehuda says, as tilting your head doesn't mean that you can't see it, and therefore it's considered an acceptable sukkah. Rav Zeira says, Mihacha. The reason we know that a sukkah that's above 20 amos is disqualified is from a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, the sukkah teal itzel yom ha-mechayrif. The sukkah will be for shade from the heat of the sun. Ad esrim amah, until 20 amos, odom yoyishib itzel sukkah. A person who's sitting in such a sukkah is sitting in the shade created by the tzchach. A malam esrim amah, ein odom yoyishib itzel sukkah. A person isn't sitting in the shade of the tzchach, el betzel the fadus, in the shade created by the walls. Omle Abaya asks Abaya to Rav Zeira, Elamiyato, according to this, if one makes a sukkah in Ashtoreth Kanayim, which is a space between two big mountains, so it's the mountains that create the shade, not the schach. Hoch nami, do I have a sukkah? Will it be a disqualified sukkah? But we know it's a valid sukkah. It's Rav Zeira responds to Abaya. Hosom dal Ashtoreth Kanayim. If you take away the Ashkenaz Kanayim, you take away those mountains, it could sell sukkah. We have a valid sukkah based on the schach. However, Hocha in Al Gemara, Dal Defanois, if we take away the walls, Leketzel Sukkah, there won't be any shade provided by the schach of the sukkah. Asks the Ritva, even in a case where the schach is less than 20 amos high, there are times of the day when the sun is low and the shade comes from the sukkah walls. So why is the sukkah kosher? So he says that since at a certain point of the day, when the sun, midday, chatzos, when the sun is overhead, the shade comes from the schach, the fact that the rest of the day the shade comes from the walls doesn't disqualify the sukkah. So he asks, if so, even by a very tall sukkah, the schach causes the shade by chatzos, because the sun is directly overhead. So Ritva says that this is only true in the summer. However, sukkahs, which is in the fall, the sun is in the southern sky, and is never directly overhead, and the schach therefore never creates shade. That's one teretz, Ritva says. Then he says another teretz that it doesn't create shade ever. So the Aruch Lener asks, that's physically incorrect. We know that it does create shade. So how could Ritva say it doesn't create shade? So the Aruch Lener answers that even if it creates shade, it creates shade for a very small area, an area which is less then Zayin Tfachim by Zayin Tfachim, which we will learn in Amud Beis, is the minimum size of the sukkah, and therefore it's a disqualified sukkah under all circumstances. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds, since we have schach, the fact in this particular sukkah it doesn't create shade doesn't disqualify the sukkah. Rav Amar Mahacha. Rav says this is the reason why sukkah above 20 amos is possible. The pasuk says besukkas teishu shivas yamin. The Torah uses the word besukkas teishu shivas yamin to teach us. Kol shivas amr Torah teaches us. Kol shivas yamin say mediris kva, all 7 days leave your permanent home for shem mediris arai and sit in a temporary dwelling. Ad esrim amo, until 20 amos tall, Adam Oysa Dirasa Diras Arai. It could be a temporary dwelling. However, Lamal Mesram, when it's above 20 amos tall, Ain Adam Oysa Dirasa Diras Arai. It can't be a temporary dwelling. Ela Dviras Kva. It has to be permanent. When you're building a 20 amos building, the walls have to be sturdy and permanent in order not to collapse. Amla Baya, so as a Baya, if that's the case, El Me'ato, Os Mechitza Shel Barzel, if somebody makes a sukkah with iron walls, V'sicha Chal Gabam, and he puts the schachel on top of them, Hachanam do I have a sukkah, should be disqualified, because we have sturdy walls, and we're learning that according to Rabbanon, the sukkah has to be a Dira Sarai. And the Rishonim explain, how do they learn this from the Pasuk? So the Tva says, the Torah says, V'sukkah's Teishu Shivas Yomim. What the Torah should have said was, Teshu Shivas Yomim Besukkos. So that's a proof that the Sukkos should be a Diras Arai. Other Rishonim explain, because the Torah uses the word Teshu, not Taduru. So it's a proof that it's temporary. Amalei, Hachakam Elamach. This is what Abai says. Ad Asim Amra, until 20 Amis, Da Adam Oysa Dirasa Diras Arai. You can make it in temporary fashion. So even ki overlay diras kava, even if you make it in a permanent fashion, nami nafik, you can mekayim the mitzvah. However, lamala mesrama, when it's above 20 amos, the adam oisa diras diras kava, the sukkah has to be a permanent fixture, permanent structure. Ki overlay diras arai, even if you make it in a temporary fashion, even if somebody will build a temporary sukkah taller than 20 amos, and it happens to last, nami lo nafik, he has not yoytzu the mitzvah. And according to Yehuda, a sukkah could be a diras kva. There's a machloikas rishonim what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Some rishonim hold that Rabbi Yehuda holds a sukkah can be a diras kva, but it certainly could also be a diras arai. Another rishonim say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah must be a diras kva. The Mishnah Berurah proves from this Gemara that even though we know that halacha is that one may not use a dova mekabel tumah, something that's susceptible to tumah, for schach, they may be used for the walls, because here our Gemara speaks about sukkah made out of metal walls, which are obviously mekabel tumah. The Tosfos points out that although our Gemara says that the walls of the sukkah may be made in a permanent fashion, we could use metal walls, the schach may not be fastened in a permanent fashion, because the schach, as we learned, is the main part of the sukkah, and the main part of the sukkah has to be temporary. And Tosfos bases his psak on a Gemara that says that if rain falls on sukkahs, it's a siman klola, it's a curse, because there's a siman from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that doesn't want us to perform the mitzvah. Says Tosfos, if the schach could be permanently attached to the sukkah, why is rain a klola? Make the heavy, tight schach, and the rain can't penetrate. The Tor, when he quotes Tosfos, says that the Rosh does not say what Tosfos says, and according to Rosh, one may have thick schach. However, the Mefarshim point out that even the Rosh, who says that a sukkah is kosher with a thick rainproof schach, it's only b'di'evid. L'chadchila, he agrees that the schach should not be so thick, because l'chadchila, the schach has to be in a way that one could see the stars through the schach. How will the Rosh answer the proof Tosfos brings? Tosfos says that we see that the Gemara says the rain is a siman klola. If according to the Rosh, we can make thick schach, so it's not a siman klola. So the Aruch Lanar answers that even if you'll make thick schach, if there's a very heavy rain, it'll penetrate the schach. The Pritzion says that even if the rain will not affect your sukkah, because you have thick schach, it will affect everyone else's sukkah, and therefore it's considered a siman klola on yontif when you have thick schach. So we learned now three different explanations in the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama. Says Kula Krabalei Amri. The other shittos do not agree with Rava, who said that we should know that you're sitting in Tzchukah, because of the Pasuk L'man Yedu Deresechem, because they say, Hahi Yedil Deresi. That Pasuk has nothing to do with the person sitting in the Sukkah, recognizing that he's sitting under the Tzchach. That Pasuk is referring to future generations to know that we're sitting in the Sukkah because our forefathers sat in the Sukkah in the Midbar. Reb Zeira namely Amri, they don't agree with Reb Zeira, who learned from the Pasuk that the Sukkah has to make, the Tzchach has to make shade, and when it's so tall it doesn't make shade. Because Ahu, the Pasuk that he learns it from, L'maisa Mashiach Hu D'Ksiv. It's Pasuk referring to the structures that will be here when Mashiach comes. And nothing to do with the Sukkah. Taisa says, why doesn't the Gemara say, because there was a questioner of Zera from the Sukkah that's between the two mountains? So Taisa says, because that question has been effectively answered, so that can't be the reason why the other Shittas don't agree with Reb Zeira, why does he feel we can learn from the Pasuk of a Sukkah Teil Tzel Yoimam? Isn't that Pasuk speaking about Mashiach's time? Im Kain, says Reb Zeira, if the entire Pasuk was only to teach us about the structures that will be in existence when Mashiach comes, Lema Krav V'Chuppa Teil Tzel Yoimam. The Pasuk could have just used the word V'Chuppa. My V'Sukkah Teil Tzel Yoimam. Why did the Torah use the word Sukkah? Shema Min HaTorati. We learn from it 2 points. Number one, Sukkah means that it provides shade, and to teach us that a Sukkah, to be Mekayim, the mitzvah Sukkah, it has to be such a Sukkah where the Tzchach provides shade. K'rava namelay Amri, they don't agree with Rava, that Rava said, because the Sukkah has to be a Deir Sarai, because the question of Abaya, if that's the case, how can we have a Sukkah made with metal walls? The Gemara now will quote different rules that were said by different Amoraim in the name of Rav in explaining and in qualifying the machlokes between the Tanakhama, between Rabban and Rav Yehuda. K'man az l'had amar Vayisham Rav. Vayisham Rav made a statement that the machlokes between the Rabban and Rav Yehuda is machlokes b'shein defanes magias l'schach. It's only when the walls do not reach the schach. Avo defanes magias l'schach. If the walls reach the schach, afilu mal mesram k'sher. Then everybody will agree that even if the sukkah is above 20 amis, the sukkah is kosher. Says the Gemara Kaman, according to whose explanation of this machlokes where Rabbi Yishir's rule makes sense, k'rava. It will go according to Rava. The Amr that he said, the concern with a Sukkah that's above 20 Amis, is Mishum Dloy Shalta Be'eino, one doesn't notice the Schach. However, Kima Defanis Megias L'Schach, if the walls reach the Schach, Mishlit Shalta Be'eino, the eyes notice the Schach, and therefore everybody will agree that it's kosher. The Zmachloikis, Taisvis, and the Ritva, how this works. According to Taisus, and that's this way it seems Rashi learns, as soon as one wall reaches the schach, it's noticeable and it's kosher, according to everyone. According to Ritva, it seems that only when all the walls reach the schach, then is the sukkah kosher. If only one wall reaches the schach, the Rabbanan will still hold that the sukkah is not kosher. Taisus also points out that this is only by a sukkah. However, by Ner Chanukah, even if the wall reaches the ceiling, if the Ner Chanukah is above 20 amis, it's possible. And the Torah in the Beis Yosef explains why. Because a wall and a ceiling follow one each other. The way a room is built is you have wall and then you have ceiling. So if the wall reaches the ceiling, it's a natural flow. The Ner Chanukah is not an inherent part of the wall. So even if the wall reaches the ceiling, that won't make you notice the Ner Chanukah, and therefore under all circumstances, when the Ner Chanukah is above 20 amos, it's possible. Now the Gemara teaches another halach in the name of Rav. Rav Huda teaches us in the name of Rav. Kaman aslo hodam Rav Huda marav, machloikis, b'shein by Allah ba'amis, Allah ba'amis. The machloikis between Rabban and Rav Yehuda is only when the sukkah is not Dalet Amos, by Dalar Amis. Av Yeshbo Yoisme Ava Amis al Arba Amis. If the sukkah is larger than Dalar Amis, Afilu Lamalam Esm Amik Shera, then even if the sukkah is higher than 20 Amis, it's kosher. Command, according to whom is this taught? Says the Gemara Krev Zera. It's going according to Krev Zera. Dam Mishum Tselhu. It's because of the, we need the schach to cause shade. The Kivin the Revicha. And once the sukkah is larger than Dalar Amis, Iketzel sukkah, we have shade provided by the schach. Now Taisus brings down two shittas. One shita Taisus say that we it's only in proportion, that we have to maintain a certain ratio of the area of the sukkah to the height. And therefore the Gemara is teaching us, according to that version, if the sukkah is larger than Dalar al Damas, it could be higher than 20. But it can't be high as you want. Because then, given that you don't have such a large area, again you'll have the issue that the schach doesn't provide shade. However, then Taisus brings down another shita, that no matter what the size of the sukkah is, once it's larger than Dalar Amis or Dalar Amis, no matter how high the sukkah is, the schach will provide shade. And the Sfas Emes asks that we know that that's not true. If it's a very small sukkah and it's very tall, it won't provide shade. Sfas Emes says, and goes back to something that we spoke about from the Ritva earlier, the Sfas Emes says that under all circumstances, there is some shade from the schach. The only issue is how long is that shade there for? And the Gemara is teaching us, according to this Pshat and Taisus, says the Sfas Emes, that whenever you have an edifice which is at least Dalar Amis by Dalar Amis, there is shade provided by the Schach for a long enough duration that it should be considered that this Schach is causing shade and it should be a kosher sukkah. Says the Gemara, another halacha that was said in the name of Rav. Keman oz lahad amarav chanan bar Rav amarav. Machloikas b'ein shei makzekas al kadei roi shiru b'shulchanai. The machloik between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is only when the sukkah can't hold the mount of place for a person to sit with his head, most of his body, and his table. Av makzekas yoyis b'kadei roi shiru b'shulchanai. If it could hold more than that area, afilu mal mesim ama, even if it's above, even the sukkah is above 20 amos kshera, says the Gemara, man, according to whom is that? To like a chad, like no one. Doesn't fit with any of the explanations we gave. Why is the shear of a sukkah measured roshu rubi v'shulchanoi? Surashi explains, in ancient times, when one would eat, when people ate, they ate in a reclining fashion. So therefore, to be able to sit in the sukkah, we need roshay v'rubay v'shulchanay. Rashi says that there is no way of explaining Rav Chanan's explanation of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. But Taisus makes an attempt, and Taisus says that when you have an area that's less roish v'rubay v'shulchanay, as we said and we'll learn many times in this Masechta, is an area of Zayin Tfachim by Zayin Tfachim. Taisa says that when you have an area which is less than Zayin Tfachim and 20 Amis tall, it looks not like a sukkah, it looks like a chicken coop. And therefore the Rabbanan disqualify it. However, once the sukkah is larger than Zayin Tfachim, even though it's very tall, Rav Chanan teaches us that looks like a sukkah and that's why it's kasher. So now the Gemara, we had three different halachas that were said by three different Amoraim in the name of Rav, attempts to see how we could understand these halachas, how we could reconcile these dinim. Bishlam de Rav Oshia, pligad Rav Huna, Rav Chana Barava. Rav Oshia is certainly disagreeing Rav Huna and Rav Chana Barava. Dinu koshyav shur b'mishcha. When they were speaking in trying to explain this machlokes, they spoke about the area of the sukkah, dalad al dalad or zayin tfachim. V'loy koyar b'shur b'mishka. He doesn't speak about the dimensions of the sukkah in the area. He speaks about if the walls reach the ceiling or not. El Rav Huna, Rav Chana Barava,
Rav Hunan, Rav Chanan bar Rava, Neimim, perhaps we could say that their disagreement is based on Behechsha Sukkah Kamifugi. What is considered the minimum amount, the minimum size of a Sukkah? The Masover, Rav Huna holds Hechsha Sukkah Barba Amis, the minimum size of a Sukkah is Dalar Amis, and therefore he doesn't speak about a Sukkah that's less than Dalar Amis big. Or Masover, Rav Chanan will hold the Hechsha Sukkah B'Machsekas Roish V'Rubay V'Shulchanoy, and that's why he speaks in that amount. Says the Gemara Loi. That's not the way to understand this. The Kuli Alma will agree that the Hechsha Sukkah is Rosh Rubis Sukhanai, that the size of the kosher minimal size of a Sukkah is Zayin Tfachim. However, the Machloket of Huna and of Chanan Barabba is as follows. The Masava, the Machsekis Rosh Rubai, Vishukhana Peligi. Rav Chanan holds that the Machloket between Rav Yehuda and Rabbanan is where the Sukkah is less than Zayin Tfachim. When it's larger in that area, the rakel kshera. And again, Rashi says we don't know how to understand Rav Chanan. According to Tosis, we'll have to explain that once it's larger than Zayin Tfachim, it doesn't look like a chicken coop, and that's why everybody holds it's a kosher sukkah. Or Mar Sava. However, Rav Huna will explain. In a sukkah that's between Zayin Tfachim and Dalar Amis is where they're disagreeing. Because the Rabbanan hold that in such a sukkah, which is between Zayin Tfachim and Dalar Amis, and is above, and the Schach is above 20 Amis, there is no shade from the Schach, or no significant enough shade, and the sukkah is possible. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's kosher. However, if the sukkah is larger than Dalar Amis, the Rehakok Shera, everybody will agree that the sukkah is kosher, because then the Schach gives shade, and therefore even the Rabbanim will agree that such a sukkah, even though the schach is above 20 amis, the sukkah is kosher.